tour time again, and the folks in this particular guided tour through NBC are particularly lucky because we have a plate of brownies that Natalie has baked a little while ago, and we're going to pass them out to some of the folks. How about you, ma'am? Would you care for a brownie? Courtesy of Monica.
Thank you very much. Just had my lunch. Do you mind if I don't eat it now?
Well, you're welcome to save it if you want. There's a little paper napkin there you can wrap it up in. Sir, would you like a brownie?
Would you like one, buddy?
I was just being, trying to be generous to you and offering you one of Natalie Attire's brownies that she made.
I'll push your face in the plate of the...
Let's move over here to the other side of the group. Here's a little boy. How old are you, Sonny?
11.
11 years old? You here in New York all by yourself today?
Why not? I live here.
Well, I meant your mommy and daddy aren't with you, huh?
No, they're loaded.
Would you like to have a brownie?
Yeah,
just... Here, take a couple of them. Maybe you've
got
a little friend or a chum you'd like to give one to.
No, I'll eat them all myself.
What do you think of Radio Central and the network operation?
Do I have to say?
Well, you've seen a good deal of radio on the tour.
I don't like it.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion, I guess. What do you hope to be when you grow up?
I don't know. I've never given it much serious thought, really.
Well, you know, young man, it's time you did give it a bit of thought.
Oh, how'd you like a brownie in the kisser?
I think for right now we'd better go back into Radio Central and thanks to all of you folks. The brownies I'll leave outside here. If you want seconds, you may help yourself to them. Thank you, Bob and Ray.
Welcome to The Guiding Hand. Terry Duncan and Morton Salter, two very fine writers of soap operas. As the scene opens, we find ourselves in Morton Salter's special writing room.
Well, how can Laura Fern let Dixonberry know that she's in love with him?
Well, we can have Laura meet Dixonberry in a restaurant and tell him she's in love with him.
Well, that's a good idea, especially if Judge Marvel is there, particularly if he's sitting next to them and he overhears the conversation.
Wait a minute, isn't Judge Marvel in Henrysburg dedicating the new youth settlement house?
Well, if we arranged to have the dedication ceremonies take place at 4 in the morning... Judge Marvel could get on a train and be back in Venersville by 9.
Well, 4 in the morning for dedication ceremonies is a little too early, isn't it? No one's going to believe that.
Thinking it over, why did Judge Marvel have to go to Henrysburg at all? We could have someone else dedicate the youth center.
Who?
Well, how about Dr. Maxwell?
He's in an oxygen tent.
Looking at a patient, or is he in it himself?
No, he's in it himself. And Dr. Stone said, unless there was a dramatic new drug discovery, Dr. Maywell was in for it.
Well, let's have another Dr. Stone, then discover a dramatic new drug. We'll send Dr. Maywell to the youth center dedication. How's that?
Well, how does that solve the problem with Laura Fern and her difficulty in telling Dixonberry that she's in love with him?
Well, now that the drug's been discovered, Judge Maywell doesn't have to leave Vernonsville.
Well, how do we get him into the restaurant where Laura Fern and Dixonberry are?
He has to eat, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So Judge Marvel will overhear the conversation between Laura and Dixonberry. And well, if we just have one more witness to the conversation, we'll be all set.
Well, how about Dr. Stone coming into the restaurant to tell Judge Marvel about the dramatic new drug he discovered?
No, I won't do. Judge Marvel's on the board at the hospital, and if Dr. Stone told him about the new drug, he might want to see it immediately.
Well, Judge Marvel wouldn't have to go to the hospital to see the drug. He could call a hospital, couldn't he?
Yeah, that's
have
right.
Have a drug sent over?
Yeah, Dr. Plimpton could bring it over.
But wait a minute. Wasn't Dr. Plimpton disbarred because he brought malaria back?
No, that was Dr. Bledsoe. And it wasn't malaria he brought back. It was yellow fever.
Well, then Dr. Stone is our man. We'll have him tell Judge Marvel about the new drug discovery.
But I just told you that Judge Marvel might become excited and want to go to the hospital and see the new drug. And we need him in the restaurant so he can hear Lorna Fern telling Dixonberry that she's in love with him.
Well, it doesn't have to be that way. Now, look, we can have Dr. Stone tell Judge Marvel about the new drug.
Oh,
then. Well, let me finish. Now, if the Judge Marvel hears about the drug, he can say, "Hey, that's a wonderful discovery, Dr. Stone, and I'd like to look at it. Is your lab open now?"
I see what you mean. And the doctor could say, "Judge, your medical laboratory should be closed to the prying eyes of the public. Besides, the drug is colorless and odorless. What could you possibly say after you saw it?"
Well, then that's it. Now we've got two witnesses to overhear what Lorna Fern has to say to Dixonberry.
Get your kicks on Channel 6, The Window of Good Taste. Start off the day at 7 a.m. by listening to Lewis Corby and his analysis.
And at 7:15 on Channel 6, Bill Mooney brings the weather right into your own home.
So be prepared. And Bill Mooney is followed at 7:30 by Whirling Bird. Go along with Chick and LT as they test a wristwatch attached to one of the rotor blades of their helicopter.
And at 8 o'clock, snow reports from Cape Canaveral.
8:30, Be sure to watch Bold Journeyman,
as Mr. Roland Dale tells about a trip to the South American jungles and a strange encounter with the Boonie Pygmies, who have a secret shrinking process,
which Mr. Bales will describe to us as he is lifted up to the microphone.
Then, stay with Channel 6 at 9 o'clock for the Ray Block Show.
As ever-popular Ray Block does his ever-popular opening about Jackie Gleason's head.
Then at 9:30, a musical salute to the scientists at Cape Canaveral,
featuring that famous song, Somewhere Under the Rainbow.
At 10 o'clock, Leonard Bernstein will explain Dr. Frank Baxter.
And on Channel 6 at 10:30, Weird Theater.
It's a story calculated to keep you in suspense as Scotland Yard is baffled by three puncture holes in a vampire's neck.
Also, the mummy that terrorizes Bloomingdale's.
You'll shriek as the gauze is removed from the mummy's head and he can see again.
So, be sure to watch The Mummy and Mr. Vampire on Weird Theater.
At noontime, listen to Person for a Day,
as Queen Elizabeth abdicates for 24 hours and wins prizes.
Prizes like a date with Alfred Hitchcock,
a year's supply of colonies,
a trip to a peat bog,
and a school of whitefish for the moat around Windsor Castle.
At 12:30, the relaxing melodies of the Lawrence Wilkie Show,
with Lawrence tapping out the rhythm as pretty Alice Bunn sings Smile,
with handsome Billy Benedict as your genial host during Alice's song.
Then at 1 o'clock, The Silent Service,
story of a withdrawn clerk,
followed by November Bride.
That's a story about an older, funny person.
Then at 2 o'clock, the Jane Taylor dancers try to locate each other on the new quiz show, Watch Your Step.
At 2:30, follow the adventures of Marshal Jake Mayhem as he takes a wagon train farther west than any wagon train has ever been before.
He takes the wagon train to Hawaii.
At 3 o'clock, tips to housewives on Press the Meat.
Then, Channel 6 goes off till 11 p.m. And at that time, live in Off Color, the Jack Port Show.
Watch Jack turn white with anger when he finds that the vegetable man didn't make his delivery.
And watch for a tantrum when Jack finds that the ping pong ball wasn't properly crushed and can't very well be called Jackie Gleason getting out of bed in the morning.
That's right. See Jack Thorpe on his show, Interrupted Melodies of 1958.
All on Channel 6, The Window of Good Taste.
This enticing radio travelogue, courtesy Bob and Ray.